13:35, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north of the city. Greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Tonight, or this afternoon, brothers and sisters, we come to an awesome message. God's desire for Zion with Christ. I'm going to read this two words at a time, and you say amen when I pause. God's desire for Zion with Christ. This is awesome. Roman numeral 1, Psalm 87 reveals that God's heart is set on Zion, the city of God with Christ within it. I love Psalms 22 through 24. 22 unveils Christ in His crucifixion, Christ in His resurrection as the regenerating one. And then in Psalm 23, He's the shepherd leading us all into the house of God for our lifelong enjoyment of Him. And then in Psalm 24, He's the king. He's the king, and the earth is Jehovah's. So you see the progression through Psalm 22, 23, 24, and you see God's heart is set on Zion. Last night when our brother James was sharing from Psalm 84, I believe all of us have the desire that our heart would be filled with the highways of Zion. Our heart would match God's heart and line up with God's heart. So ask your neighbor right now, neighbor, where is your heart? Isn't this wonderful, this first point? Reveals Psalm 87. By the way, brothers and sisters, Psalm 87, I believe many of us are not familiar with it or haven't spent that much time in it, including myself. But it is an awesome psalm. And anyway, it shows, reveals clearly God's heart is set on Zion. We want our heart set where His heart is. And this is the city of God, and don't forget, with Christ within it. If it's not with Christ within it, it's just an empty Zion. Christ is everything in God's economy. He's the center, He's the reality, and He's everything. Zion is central in God's heart. In Psalm 2:6, it says, I have installed my king on Mount Zion. Zion is central on God's heart because this is where Christ is as the installed king. God's heart is focused on nothing but Christ. We can see that in Matthew 17, when Jesus was transfigured. Peter got excited when Moses and Elijah appeared, tried to put them on the same level as Christ, and God was offended. They were missing His heart totally. And He had to speak boldly, "This is my Son! This is where my heart is!" This is the installed King, Jesus, on the holy mountain of Zion. And the song we were singing from Psalm 48, 1 and 2 is awesome. Mentions beautiful and elevation. Mount Zion is the highest point in the city of Jerusalem. Actually, this is where the Holy of Holies is. And beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion in the city of our God. Amen.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, I was just touched. Within Jerusalem, there's a city called the City of Zion. That's the highest peak within Zion. This is where Christ Himself is. This is the city of God. We want to be in this peak. And this peak is in our spirit.
Amen.
We want to be on this peak. We want to be in this peak. I appreciate whenever we praise the elevated Christ, we automatically become part of the elevated city. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Great is the Lord.
Amen.
Greatly to be praised.
Amen.
When you read Ephesians 1, 19 to 23, you see all that He went through from resurrection, ascension, being seated, subjecting everything under Him, and being the head over all things to the church. He is really the installed King. Amen.
Amen.
And I tell you, what He needs, what He deserves, is nothing but praise. B, restoration, salvation, and release from sufferings are the desires of the saints. But God's desire is for Zion with His Christ. What's the first verse of the New Testament? Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ. The first name is Jesus. And what does Jesus mean? It means Jehovah, our Savior, or our salvation. But why was the whole book of Matthew written? It was written for the sake of God's kingdom, indicating that the whole purpose of salvation is not merely to be rescued, not merely to be delivered from something, but we would be saved, we would be restored for the kingdom of God, for the city of Zion, signifying God's kingdom. Salvation is not for itself. But salvation is for Zion. God's desire is for Zion with His Christ. So number one, salvation is not for ourselves. Salvation is for God's purpose and God's economy. Amen. Everybody that has been saved, say amen.
Amen.
Everybody that needs more salvation, say amen.
Amen.
Salvation has a goal. And that goal is that we would be constituted with Christ Himself.
Amen.
To become His enlargement.
Amen.
So we could become His house. So we could become His city.
Amen.
And so we could be one with Him for His testimony on the whole earth. So I love the word our brother Lee uses in the life study. Christ is the King. Our brother James mentioned last night, He's the incarnated King who tabernacled among us and became enterable. And hallelujah, all of us as little sparrows and swallows are just now dwelling in our enterable triune God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord!
Amen.
I forgot what I was saying. Huh? What? Oh, yeah. Well, we're the sparrows and we're the swallows. Amen. That wasn't the main point. Amen. Oh, okay. So he was mentioning that our incarnated God became enterable.
Amen.
So all of the happy sparrows and swallows say, hallelujah! Where are we? We are in him. But as through his death and resurrection, he became the wonderful pneumatic Christ, the life-giving spirit, so he could get into us and saturate us with himself. And who is he? He's the King.
Amen.
And what's happening every moment that he is wrought into us a little bit more, the King is being wrought into the dumb. And we are being united and mingled with him so that we could become the kingdom.
Amen.
So every time we give him a little more ground, his kingdom comes. So God's desire is that is all together with Christ, and that Christ would be expanded. Christ would be enlarged. Christ would be constituted into his people, for his house, for his city, and for the sake of the whole earth. So, number two, God saves people for his Christ, for his house, for Zion, and for Zion, the city of God, in order that one day he might gain the entire earth through Christ with his overcomers. Isn't that wonderful? So the focus of the Lord's recovery, brothers and sisters, this opening point is awesome. The focus of the Lord's recovery is to make us that elevated peak, that holy city of Zion, by constituting us with Christ. And this is for the testimony of Jesus. This is the focus of the Lord's recovery. I was just touched this morning by musing over Matthew 16. And the Lord said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He got an A+ at that point. Then the Lord said what? In verse 18, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." And then he said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." And then right after that he said, "Whatever you bind on the earth." So even in these few verses, what do we see? Christ, church, which is house, city, which is kingdom, and the earth. In this greatest prophecy by the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 16, his burden is that he would be enlarged, he would be expanded, he'd be constituted into us, that we would become his house, the church, we would become his city for the kingdom. And this is for the sake of the entire earth. And put that together with Matthew 24:14. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached to the entire inhabited earth for a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, for the Lord to gain Zion is a great matter. This is a great message, bringing us into God's desire for Zion with Christ. As we see this vision and we cooperate with him to gain this elevated city and to become this city and to live in this city, then he has a way to genuinely take over this usurped earth. The earth is the Lord's.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Many times we look for just outward things that God's going to do to change the earth. But what he really needs, he needs Zion. He needs the city of God. He needs his testimony for the sake of his kingdom on this earth. And then the end will come. This verse, Revelation 11:15, is awesome. "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Now we come to Roman numeral 2, brothers and sisters. We start, these Roman numerals now begin just quoting verses from the seven verses of Psalm 87. And this first verse is awesome. The points under help develop. This is tremendous. Brothers and sisters, I never really saw this until just this week. Really. Freshly. His foundation is in the holy mountains. Amen. Declare that verse to your neighbor.
His foundation is in the holy mountains.
Letter A. This divine foundation typifying who? Christ. As God's unique foundation for the building up of His house, the church, is built in the holy mountains which typify the local churches. Brothers and sisters, all the local churches are the holy mountains. And this, it says His foundation is in the holy mountains. This implies a lot. Brothers and sisters, this implies that Christ will see who is the living, organic, growing, spreading, dispensing, foundation, makes us the same as He is. He is holy. And He makes the mountains holy. So by experiencing this Christ and His dispensing, loving Him, experiencing Him, enjoying Him, we become the holy mountains. The holy mountains are not a thing. The holy mountains are the many peaks, the many churches that are constituted with Christ as the Holy One. This is wonderful, saints. This is wonderful. So you can see the very title, God's Desire for Christ, for Zion with Christ. God's city, the city of Zion, the city of God, is constituted with nothing but Christ. Amen! This is awesome. B, as the Christ and the Son of the living God, the Lord Jesus is the unique foundation laid by God for His building. 1 Corinthians 3 is very clear. Christ is the foundation, and there's no other foundation that could be laid. Christ is the unique foundation of God's house. C, according to Paul's word in 1 Corinthians 3, Christ is a living foundation. He's a living foundation. A foundation that grows. These little points are great, great, really enlightening, saints. This foundation, I've done some building work in the past. And a foundation, you usually think of just a static piece of, you know, something. It's just a base and everything else built on it. But the foundation is just the foundation. But when we see this foundation, this Christ, is a living foundation. And the entire building comes out of this foundation. This is awesome. This foundation grows. God gives the growth, and to give growth is a matter of growing Christ. The Christ who grows within us is a living, growing foundation. Praise the Lord! Even within us right now, our Christ is living and our Christ is growing! Say hallelujah! Two, the foundation grows in us, and this growth produces, listen to this, gold, silver, and precious stones for the building up of the church. Even the contents and the materials within God's house all come out of the foundation. Whoever heard of this? This is a new view of the foundation. Oh, I love my foundation. He's awesome. He's wonderful. Isn't that amazing? Everything of God's building develops from and comes out of this foundation. All of the contents within this building come out of this living, growing, organic foundation. I'm thinking of Ephesians 3, which is very subjective, where there's a real burden. Oh, Father, strengthen me according to the riches of your glory through your Spirit into my inner man, that Christ may make his home in my heart. Christ, the foundation, would build himself into our being. He's not only the foundation, but he becomes the gold, the silver, the precious stone. He becomes all the materials. He becomes everything. Even this very moment, the Lord's desire is that all of us would be experiencing God's desire for Zion by allowing Christ to build his home in our hearts right now.
Amen.
Lord, make home in me right now.
Amen.
Letter D, saints, is awesome. As Christ, the unique foundation, holds and supports God's building, he dispenses himself into every part of the building, imparting his element into all the believers. Now look at the reference that's there. We're talking about the foundation, but Colossians 2:19 says, holding the head. This foundation is the head. Out from this living, growing, organic, spreading, dispensing foundation comes the whole body. Because this foundation is the head. Usually you think of a foundation as under you. But we find out here this foundation is over us. What a foundation! Living, organic, moving, dispensing foundation. So, brothers and sisters, how do we experience Christ as the foundation? By holding him as the head. Even this very moment, clinging to him. Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
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 Amen. We want to remain clinging to him. Lord, keep me one spirit with you every moment.
Amen.
Holding the head, holding the foundation. Wow. The same one who's under us is the one who's over us. And the entire building develops from this wonderful, wonderful foundation Christ who is living.
Amen.
And what's he doing? He's constituting us with himself to make all the mountains the holy mountains. Wonderful. He's very busy right this moment, constituting us with himself so that all of us, as the churches, would be the holy mountains for the testimony of Jesus. Amen. And I love this, as Brother Ed touched, to hold him as the head really means to take care of the highest principle in the Christian life and the church life. Give him preeminence.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, you're number one. Lord, you're my first and best love.
Amen.
Exalt him. Not this, not that, not these, not those. But we exalt and hold Christ and Christ alone. Oh, isn't that good? God's desire for Zion with Christ.
Amen.
I was just thinking, brothers and sisters, as we hold him as the head and love him as our foundation, what happens is he is busy making us the church, the pillar and base of the truth. He's making us, to some extent, his duplication. Making the church the pillar and the base of the truth. Wow. Awesome. So the first verse is his foundations is in the holy mountains. That foundation is Christ. Now, let's speak that next Roman numeral 3 to each other. Speak that verse to your neighbor, and I'll speak it too. Jehovah loves the gates of Zion. He loves the gates of Zion. Gates are for coming in and going out, signifying fellowship. And brothers and sisters, the verse that's here is tremendous. 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, through whom all of us unfaithful people have been called into the fellowship. Amen. Into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. So the gates indicate and signify fellowship. The first fellowship we have is with His Son, Jesus Christ, who, as James pointed out, is the triune God Himself. So God's desire is that we, as believers individually and as churches locally, we would be loaded with gates. We would be loaded with gates. And we'll see these gates are developed a little bit more in the other points. I like this. To have a heart for Zion means that we're not just for our own dwelling, but loaded with gates. Brothers and sisters, the whole verse, it's not written out here, but Jehovah loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. I love this. We are in this training not for ourselves, not for our own little dwelling. We are here for Zion. We are here for God's desire. We're here for God's interest. We're here for His house. We're here for His city. We're here that it would become a reality. The earth is the Lord's. We are not here just for our own existence. God loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of any individual. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 1:9 is tremendous, saints. God is faithful, through whom we're called into the fellowship. His desire is that the gate is open. He just wants us to live a gate life. In this fellowship of this all-inclusive Christ, who is our wisdom, our righteousness, our sanctification, He's everything. Especially He's the life-giving Spirit. And wants to be enjoyed as the reality of everything positive in the whole universe. But verse 10 goes right after verse 9 in 1 Corinthians. It says, "But I beseech you, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly attuned to the same mind and the same opinion." So this indicates that fellowship is related to oneness. Where there's gates, there's oneness. Where there's fellowship, there's oneness. What's the deep burden on the Lord's heart? Oneness. Amen. What did He pray for in John 17, the deepest prayer in the Bible? Father, that they may be one. That the world may believe that you have sent me. He loves the gates of Zion, which means he loves the oneness. How good and how pleasant it is when the brothers dwell together in oneness. There is the commanded blessing. He loves the gates because the gates are related to fellowship, and fellowship is for the oneness. No fellowship, no oneness. Now this develops a little bit more. These other points are awesome. B, fellowship is related to oneness. Fellowship brings all the members of the body of Christ into oneness. Isn't that wonderful? Eventually, we'll see. Well, let me just read number one. The fellowship among the churches is the fellowship of the body of Christ. There's a verse, one body, one bread. Number two, fellowship is the reality of living in the body of Christ. And there it indicates that as the body is one and has many members, then it says in verse 12, so also is the Christ. 1 Corinthians is the book that clearly reveals that Christ is the head of the body and that Christ is the body of the head. So to have gates in our living, to be in a living of fellowship, means that our fellowship is with Christ as the head of the body and with Christ as the body of the head. Not only vertical fellowship with the Lord, but horizontal fellowship with the brothers and sisters, with the churches. Amen. So Zion is a fellowship city. Amen. Ephesians 4 is wonderful, brothers and sisters. It just says, being diligent. Diligent to keep the oneness of the Spirit. And the footnote indicates that to be eager, diligent, to keep the oneness of the Spirit means we are eager, diligent to keep the fellowship with Christ as the life-giving Spirit. Every moment we want to keep Him. We want to be in union with Him. We want to be one with Him. Being diligent, eager, aggressive to keep the fellowship. I appreciate so much, brothers and sisters, that if we are not people who are loaded with gates, or local churches loaded with gates of fellowship, then by default, automatically, spontaneously, we become those who are under the attack of the gates of Hades. So either we're believers and churches who are loaded with gates, or by default, we become those under the attack of the gates of Hades. So may the Lord load us with gates, a fellowship with Christ as the head of the body, and with Christ as the body of the head. Praise the Lord for this training. Everybody that's happy to be in this training, say hallelujah. What a joy to be here just to have the fellowship, even with one another. Just in these recent days, just this fellowship here, there. I am just so grateful that we could be those who are loaded with gates. Amen. And this is for the sake of the oneness, which is the deepest burden on God's heart, so that we, as Zion, could be the proper testimony of Jesus. The fellowship among the churches is the fellowship of the body of Christ. Fellowship is the reality of living in the body of Christ. The fact that the New Jerusalem has 12 gates indicates God's holy city will be full of fellowship. Brothers and sisters, no gates, no oneness, no testimony. Jerusalem is loaded with gates. 4 times 3. 12 gates. That's completeness in eternity. So this is a picture. The Lord's desire is that we would be those who are loaded with gates. Take every opportunity to have fellowship with Christ as the head of the body.
Amen.
And with Christ as the body of the head.
Amen.
Vertically, horizontally. We would live a life of fellowship. Jehovah loves the gates. A big key to being Zion is to be loaded with gates. Now, Roman numeral 4. Let's read that together, that verse, strongly. Glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Amen. Because we would be constituted with this Christ to be the city of God, to be builded up to be the city of God, the kingdom of God, will issue in the whole earth speaking glorious things about our wonderful God. What does the Lord need? He needs His testimony. He needs us not only to be His house for His dwelling, He needs us to be His city. Full of Him as the living organic foundation and one with Him by being saturated with Him as the fellowshipping one. Full of gates. Constituted with His Christ. So that we could be the holy city. Glorious things are spoken of you. O city of God. City of God means the city is God. And who is God? God is this Jesus Christ. When Christ was incarnated, when God was incarnated in Jesus, it's the whole triune God. This is the city of God.
Amen.
Is this wonderful Christ constituted into us to become the kingdom of God, the city of God. And brothers and sisters, God's house is for His rest. God's house is for His expression. God's city is for His dominion. God's city is for His administration. Perhaps the deepest burden on God's heart is His administration. Ephesians 1:10 says, unto the economy of the fullness of the times, to head up all things in Christ, the things in the heavens and the things on the earth in Him. This means the entire universe is in a heap of collapse. Brothers and sisters, would everybody admit the whole earth is in a mess?
Yes.
Everything needs headed up.
Yes.
That's why the Lord needs Zion.
Yes.
We want to cooperate with Him to become that elevated city. This is the key to the Lord recovering the usurped earth from the evil one. For His testimony. And so the whole earth could be in reality the Lord's. So glorious things are spoken of you, O city of God. Brothers and sisters, why are we in this training? Why are we Christians? Because we're burdened for His glory. We're not burdened for our success, this or that, but for His glory. The whole earth would speak, well, glorious things concerning Him. Zion is a poetic title of the church in both the universal sense and the local sense. Zion was the city of David, the center of the city of Jerusalem, as God's dwelling place on earth. So, Zion is the center of the city of Jerusalem and the highest peak. Zion within Jerusalem typifies the body of overcomers, the perfected and matured God-men within the church as the heavenly Jerusalem. In Hebrews 12:22 it says, you have come! You have come.
Amen.
You have come what? You've come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
You've come to the city of God. You've come to the universal gathering.
Amen.
You've come to Zion. Brothers and sisters, every time we come to the triune God in our spirit,
Amen.
You have come to Mount Zion.
Amen.
You've come to the universal gathering. So, brothers and sisters, where do we want to be moment by moment, day by day? Where do I want to be? I want to be in my spirit.
Amen.
You have come. You have come to Mount Zion, to the holy city. Brothers and sisters, the overcomers are those who practice to come, to remain in the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies is Mount Zion. But the Holy of Holies today is in our spirit. You have come. We want to remain here in the Holy of Holies. I appreciate, brothers and sisters, Revelation 2. Brother Ed mentioned this. Ephesus in Revelation 2 was needing to what? The footnote ended by saying, if you really want to be my testimony and the lampstand would not be taken away, removed out of its place, then you need to be loving me with the first love, enjoying me as the tree of life, loving me as the God-man, eating me and enjoying me as the God-man to become perfected God-men, so that we could be his testimony. So that's why that awesome footnote puts these three together. Loving the Lord, eating the Lord, and being the Lord's testimony go together. This is very precious. This is a key to being an overcomer. What is the Lord's burden? According to the book of Revelation, it's the testimony of Jesus. This is the spirit of that whole prophecy. So to be overcomers is to love the Lord with the first love, which means to give Him preeminence. Give Him preeminence. Give Him the first place. Lord Jesus, right now we give You the first place.
Amen.
And enjoy Him. When He has the preeminence, brothers and sisters, it's much easier to enjoy Him. Eating Him as the tree of life, God-man. And then we can together be built together, personally, but built together in the churches and as the body of Christ to be His testimony. You know, Revelation 14 talks about Mount Zion, the eternal city. And it says, it talks about first fruits. And I was just touched. If you want to be a first fruit, we want to be those who enjoy the Lord as our first love. The first fruits are those who love the Lord with the first love. So that we could satisfy the Lord in His deep desire for His testimony as the city of God, full of Him. Number two, as the highlight and beauty of the holy city, Jerusalem, Zion typifies the overcomers as the high peak, the center, the uplifting, the strengthening, the enriching, the beauty, and the reality of the church. I hope you would take note of all those points there. High peak, center, uplifting, strengthening, enriching, beauty, and reality. This is what characterizes Zion. The Lord doesn't just want His house in a general way. He wants the city. And He wants the city of Zion, the Holy of Holies. I just appreciating, saints, I was musing before the Lord, overcomers take the lead to do what? They take the lead to praise the Lord. The more you praise the Lord, the more you become the high peak. The more you praise the Lord, the more Christ is the center. We get built it up. The more we praise the Lord, the more there's an uplifting. The more we praise the Lord, there's more strengthening. The more we praise Him, there's more enriching. The more we praise Him, the more beautiful we become. And the more we praise Him, the more reality there is in the church. And brothers and sisters, the Lord didn't ask us to be spiritual giants. Revelation 3:8, the church in Philadelphia, they were not super, they were not extraordinary, they were not spectacular, but they had a little power. They did not deny the Lord's name, they kept His word. They were overcomers. So with them, what was there? There was the high peak, there was the center, there's the uplifting, there's the strengthening, there's the enriching, there's the beauty and the reality. Isn't it good in Psalm 8? The overcomers are not super people, but they're the babes and sucklings. And the babes and sucklings, it says, out of their mouths praise was established. Praise was established. Hallelujah! This is wonderful, brothers and sisters. Overcomers take the lead to praise. 2 Chronicles 20, you know, there was a battle going on, and the Lord led the king to tell the army, I forgot which king it was, but anyway, Jehoshaphat, told him, put the singers and the praisers out in front of the army. And when they began to sing and to praise, all the enemies were defeated. And eventually they killed each other and committed suicide. Hallelujah! So overcomers take the lead. Take the lead to praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The overcomers as Zion are the reality of the body of Christ and consummate the building up of the body in the local churches to bring in the consummated holy city, New Jerusalem. The Holy of Holies. New Jerusalem is the Holy of Holies. The whole city, as Brother James mentioned, the whole city is the Holy of Holies. It's God united, mingled, and incorporated with all of us. Wow, we're in Him. He's in us. United, mingled, incorporated. Awesome. This is the Holy of Holies. Amen. As God's dwelling place in eternity. So, brothers and sisters, I love hymn 894. I think it's written by Brother Lee. The chorus, will you be an overcomer? Will you make this choice? It doesn't mean anybody in the room could stand up now and just say, definitely, I know I'm an overcomer. We would not believe them. But everybody that wants to be an overcomer, say amen.
Amen.
Will you make this choice?
Amen.
Over and over again, make this choice, day by day. Will you be an overcomer?
Amen.
See, for the Lord to do good in His good pleasure unto Zion is for Him to build up the church. Listen to this, three things. Build up the church. Secondly, fill the church with His glory. And thirdly, grant the church His rich presence with Himself as joy, peace, life, light, security, and every spiritual blessing. Hallelujah!
After,
this is Psalm 51, after David was done repenting, he had such a thorough repentance. And he was so open to the Lord, so open to the Lord, we'll see in the next point, that because of his openness, the Lord was able to put His desire into David's heart. So the Lord's, David's last prayer, last sentence in verse 18 is, Lord, do good in Your good pleasure unto Zion. God's desire became David's desire because of his opening to Him. Anyway, brothers and sisters, we want to be those who are one with the Lord to build up the church, fill the church with His glory, and grant the church His rich presence with Himself as joy, peace, life, light, security, and every spiritual blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies. Again, Ephesians 3, 17 to 21, brothers and sisters, is a tremendous prayer for experience. That Christ would make Himself, He'd make His home in our heart, build Himself into us. We would become full of strength. Together to apprehend all of its dimensions, and we would be filled unto all the fullness of God, and eventually unto Him be glory.
Amen.
We'd be filled with Him, and unto Him be glory.
Amen.
In the church forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
D. Although the Lord has the right, the title to the earth, today the earth is usurped by His enemy. Yet on this usurped earth, there is the mountain of Jehovah, Mount Zion, which is absolutely open to the Lord and absolutely possessed by Him. Just a note from Psalm 24, a sentence I'd like to read. The overcomers who are typified by Zion are the beachhead through which the Lord will return to possess the whole earth. So although the earth has been usurped, the overcomers are the beachhead. The burden in this training is that all of us and everybody who's under the hearing of the truth would be cooperating with the Lord so that we could become the beachhead for our King to come, for our King to absolutely possess the earth. You see a verse reference there, 2:6. Psalm 2:6. Psalm 2 is tremendous. 2:6. But I have installed my King upon Zion, my holy mountain. And then it says in 2:12. How do we take care of this King? Kiss the Son, lest He be angry. Wow, the best way to cooperate with Him for His kingdom is to kiss the Son. It's like the last message of the last training in the Psalms. That the Lord wants the reigning Christ recovers the earth. Not by smiting and judging, but by watering. And the Lord's kingdom comes practically, experientially. And in reality, by those who take the lead to kiss the Son. Give Him the first and the best love every day. Care for Him. Care for His heart's desire. Overcomers, kiss the Son.
Amen.
Amen. In the new heaven and new earth, the entire New Jerusalem will become Zion, with all the believers as overcomers. Eventually, brothers and sisters, we'll all be the overcomers. But our burden is to choose now. Choose now to be an overcomer. Will you be an overcomer? Will you make this choice? Christ is calling. Christ is calling. Listen to His voice. Roman numeral 5, saints, before that, before I read Roman numeral 5, I'd like to read the verse that's not there. I will, it's verse 4 of this psalm, I will make mention of Rahab and Babylon as those who know me. Behold, Philistia and Tyre, along with Cush. This one was born there, they say. There's a kind of boasting here in the world. Oh, yeah, this famous one was born in Egypt. Oh, over here, there's this famous one's born over here. Anyway, none can compare with Zion. So Let's read. How about we read that section together? Roman numeral 5. Go. But of Zion it will be said, this one and that one were born in her. We'll establish her. Jehovah will count. Amen. I like the way Jehovah counts. Oh, all the countries, they don't know how to count. The world doesn't know how to count. Jehovah knows how to count. We'll get into this. It really opens this up in a very good way. So it helps us to realize why our boast is in Zion. In verses 5 and 6, God's intention is to make a contrast, a comparison of all other places with Zion. Psalm 87 unveils Christ with all the saints to be God's house, for God's city, and for God to gain the whole earth. See, this one in Psalm 87:6, and this one and that one in verse 5, indicate that Christ and all the saints were born in the heavenly Zion. We were born in Zion.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
According to the truth of God's word, we were all born in Zion.
Amen.
So surely we are for Zion.
Amen.
This is the city of our God. Hallelujah! I like D, brothers and sisters. This one is the unique one. Christ, who's the totality of all the saints, as the one who is all the, who is all the saints and who is in all the saints. Colossians 3 is very strong. We put on the new man where there cannot be Greek or Jew, me or you, but Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
So, this is wonderful. You know, people, blah, 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 so-and-so born there, so-and-so, this famous one, blah, blah, blah. But they don't count. We need to take care of how Jehovah counts. He says, this one! This one! Forget about that one and that one. This one, with all those ones that are connected to him, wow, this is the important birth. This is the important birth. This one! How about we shout, this one! This one! Oh, I love Ephesians 1. 22-23, he subjected all things under his feet, gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is the body of Christ, the fullness of the one! The fullness of the one! You better declare to your neighbor, releasingly, the one! The one! In resurrection, God begot a son, Jesus Christ, and in resurrection, God regenerated many sons. This shows us that the resurrection of Christ was a great delivery.
Amen.
Friends, sisters, there were three great issues of the Lord's resurrection. Not mentioning the fact that what a great thing that our Christ in resurrection swallowed up death in victory.
Amen.
This is a great matter. But related to the practicality of carrying out his economy, in resurrection, there are three main issues. Number one, Christ was designated the firstborn Son of God.
Amen.
In his divinity, he was always the only begotten Son of God, and he will always be. But in his humanity, through his death and his resurrection, in God's New Testament economy, it mentions that he, as the spirit of divinity, invaded his humanity. Invaded his humanity to divinize his humanity, to sunnize his humanity, and to make this man God.
Hallelujah!
And this man should be worshipped. You know, God's economy is, He became man in order to make man God in life and nature. That's us. But not in the Godhead to be worshipped. But our wonderful Christ, this Jesus, Jesus is God.
Amen.
Every knee will bow.
Amen.
Every tongue will openly confess.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, brothers and sisters, this was a great delivery. How many were there? Christ the head with all his members. How big was this delivery? How many do you think, Chris, will be in the New Jerusalem? My guess is maybe a billion. I don't know. But this was a big delivery. You know, when my dad was born, he was a little guy when he grew up. But when he was born at 13 pounds. That's a big delivery. But how about the delivery and resurrection? Should there be rejoicing or what? Hallelujah! What a delivery! So he was designated Son of God in his humanity. And we, in resurrection, according to 1 Peter 3, were regenerated through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead unto a living hope. Everybody that has hope, say amen.
Amen.
We got regenerated.
Amen.
Ricky has new genes. Amen.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, neighbor, you have new genes.
Amen.
They determine who you're going to look like and who you're going to become. Just like Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah! And last but not least, in resurrection, he became a life-giving spirit. Everybody that's happy that Jesus Christ became the life-giving spirit, say hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
Oh, so that we could receive him, experience him, enjoy him, and express him, be his body, be his many members, be the sons of God for his testimony. Okay, Christ was born as the firstborn, and we were regenerated as his many brothers, the many sons of God. Hence, that birth and resurrection was a corporate birth, the birth of the firstborn son and his many brothers. And these verses indicate this. You know, Romans 8:29 is not as common to most Christians as 8:28. But actually, they go together. We know that all things work together for good to those who love him. They're called according to the purpose. And what's it say? That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Indicating, brothers and sisters, that everything in our life, as we are loving the Lord, everything in our life is working together for good. And that good is that the whole earth would recognize this one.
Amen.
This one.
Amen.
This one.
Amen.
That he might be the firstborn among many brothers. He would be exalted.
Amen.
This one. The whole earth would see this one. He's exalted in and through. In the midst of all of his brothers. Wow. Awesome. Okay, number two, the birth of a new corporate child comprising Christ and his believers was the birth of the new man. The corporate man brought forth by Christ's work in resurrection is the new man spoken of in Ephesians 2:15. So, brothers and sisters, according to the truth of God's Word, according to his bequeathing us and willing us so many things, how about we declare, hallelujah, I am part of the one new man. Hallelujah. The corporate man brought forth by Christ. Okay, I read letter A. B. The head is the firstborn son of God, and the body is a composition of all the many sons of God, the many brothers of the Lord. See, this child, this corporate new man, was brought forth through Christ's work in resurrection. Praise the Lord for Christ's work in resurrection.
Amen.
Oh, what's the issue? This one!
Amen.
How about we shout hallelujah for this one? Hallelujah! In Zion, this one is testified. This one is exalted. This one is glorified. Wow. The last point, saints. All my springs are in you. Friends, sisters, the springs are not a thing. The springs are a person. They're the triune God himself. We can see this even in the subpoints. I love this, brothers and sisters. When we really care for God's desire, the desire of God's heart for Zion with Christ, when we really care for God's desire for his heart, his building, his city, all our needs are met. And we are people who are full of joy. Praise the Lord! Even as just touched Brother Knee right to the end was for God's economy, for God's purpose. And one of his last statements is, I've learned to maintain my joy. Still enjoying God's house, even though he was in prison. He was enjoying the springs. All my springs are in you. You is the city of God. All the springs are in Zion. The process triune God is the fountain, the springs, and the river of water of life. The Father is the fountain, the Son is the springs, and the Spirit is the river of water of life. Brothers and sisters, where there's water, there's joy.
Amen.
No water, no joy. But where there's lots of water, lots of joy.
Amen.
Wow. How much joy? Well, we'll see in a minute. Okay. Amen. There it says in Isaiah 12, which is a hymn up here, it says, you know, with joy will you draw water. Oh, where there's water, there's joy. Oh, when a few of us were with Brother Lee in 1977 in Israel, and when we got to the head of the Jordan River, we saw it springing up from the fountain under the ground. And the flow beginning, the flow of that river. I was walking beside Brother Lee, and Brother Lee was so happy. I didn't realize what he was seeing. Realizing he was seeing the triune God. he was seeing Zion. He was seeing, and I'm just looking at, and he's bumping me. He said, Brother Dick, jump in, jump in. I didn't do it. But later I began to realize little by little why he was crazy. He was happy because he was seeing Zion. He was seeing all my springs are in her. He was just seeing a lot. Anyway, he was full of joy. In eternity, the Lamb will shepherd God's redeemed and guide them to springs of waters of life. As our shepherd, Christ will lead us into himself as the springs of water of life so that we may enjoy the eternal dispensing of the triune God.
Amen.
Even this afternoon, brothers and sisters, we're enjoying
Amen.
The dispensing of the triune God.
Amen.
Springs of waters of life refer to the unique water of life in different aspects. As this wonderful one comes into us, out of our being shall flow rivers. A river of joy. A river of love. A river of righteousness. A river of patience. Again, I was at a corner today, coming here. Stopped at Wilshire Boulevard. And some guy would not turn right on red. And he had plenty opportunity. That can really irritate me. But I just thank the Lord my wife and I were enjoying the river of water of life. So, oh, there was patience there. Stay as long as you want. In the New Jerusalem, the eternal Mount Zion, we will drink of many springs and enjoy many different waters for eternity. For eternity, we will be able to declare, "All my springs are in you." May every local church be a little Zion with all my springs in you. And brothers and sisters, I want to conclude by adding the phrase that's not in here from this verse 7. Listen, the first part of this verse 7 says, "Then singing as well as dancing, they will say, all my springs are in you." We could say singing as well as praising. We don't want to do any dancing here. But you could dance inwardly. I hope all of you would dance in your heart. We need a gladdened spirit, a gladdened heart. If you have to dance outwardly, that's okay. But listen, isn't that good? "Then singing as well as dancing, they will say, oh, all my springs are in you." Brothers and sisters, I want to conclude with these two sentences I wrote down. Number one, the issue... before I say that. Who are those singing? Who are those dancing? It doesn't mention any names. None of us may be a giant, in a spiritual giant in a genuine way. But we can all be little singers and praisers. Little singers and dancers. And that's the Lord's desire for His testimony. Now, number one, the issue of caring for God's desire for Zion is enjoying the waters of salvation, which is the triune God Himself, for eternity with singing and dancing and praising. This is the issue of caring for God's desire for Zion. If you really want to be joyful, care for His desire. We're not focused on our desire, but His desire. Now listen, number two, the way to become that city. The way to become that city with the elevated center is also by experiencing and enjoying this wonderful Christ daily as our waters of salvation. Experiencing Him daily as our waters of salvation. So, brothers and sisters, may we conclude by singing 1340. We didn't have time before. How about we stand and be singing and inwardly dancing and praising while we're singing? Amen? Hallelujah! Triumphal shout.
Amen.